this is James from survivalpunk.com, and this will be a solo episode. This I am recording this on a, what is this? This is a Monday. Normally we record on a Saturday. It was a crazy Saturday. And we'll probably talk about it, I don't know, next week. I don't know. It was jam-packed, and me and Mike didn't get around to recording. So I'm recording now. There will not be an episode this week. That is not even a possibility. So, and over the weekend, I came across something, and I really dug into it. And I decided that it pissed me off, and I was like, I gotta talk about this. It really pissed me off. I had not really seen much on Antifa. I'd seen a few things here and there. I didn't really pay any attention to it. And I really dug into Antifa. Not really, really, but I dug into them this weekend. And man, they piss me off. They really grind my gears, guys. First of all, they're calling themselves anarchists. And I was like, you are not anarchists. You are not anarchists. So that first of all pissed me off. And I was like, well, I hope there are people out there, and there are people out there that think they are anarchists. They are not anarchists. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what anarchy is and rant a bit about Antifa, a bit about what fascism is and why Antifa are fascist. They're very fascist. So that's the topic of the show. And let's see. I've got some definitions for you guys. In case you didn't know what anarchy was, and it cannot really be summed up in just a definition, I have shows on anarchy in the past, and I will try to look them up. Not try. I will look them up, put them in the show notes. And maybe I really want to bring on an expert in the subject to talk about anarchy. But even in the freedom movement, I tend to think that anarchy is very individualized. You know, as long as you fall under some certain key principles, you know, I don't see why you can't call yourself an anarchist. And I don't see how another anarchist can really impose their belief on anarchy on you and say you're not. So, I mean, in that way, So in a way, Antifa could call themselves anarchists, but they don't fall under those guidelines that we've said, which negates them. I mean, yeah, they can call themselves anarchists, but they're not. Anarchy. It has two definitions. It's a state of disorder due to the absence or non-recognition of authority, absence of government, and absolute freedom of the individual regarded as a political idea. The second one is more what we want here. A state of disorder due to absence of non-recognized authority. No, that's, I mean, people can get along just fine without authority. Authority, if anything, is what's causing the disorder. The word etymology, and I love etymology, and the definition didn't have it, so I went and looked it up separately because I knew what it was, but I wanted to quote it. Word etymology comes from the mid-16th century via medieval Latin from Greek, anarchia from anarchaos. Anarchaos. That's a good word there. From an, without, plus Arkos, chief ruler. So without chief, without ruler. That's what we want here. We want without ruler. We are free men and free women. We do not need a ruler. And by going through that definition, the absolute freedom of the individual, an absence of government, and without ruler, does not at all seem like the ideals that Antifa want. Because really, they really, really want a ruler. It's just not Donald Trump. I mean, they pretty much have deified Obama. So Trump is not their god, you know. And you know what? A little bit later, I'm gonna talk a little bit about statism. This is gonna be a weird episode. Hope you guys have fun with me, and make sure you chime in on the blog, survivalpunk.com, so I can hear your thoughts on it. Because this is a community. I want to hear your back and forth conversation. We want to talk about this. What do you think about this? So, and it seems like words are being thrown around, and I really need to reread. I might have read 1984 in school, but I don't remember all of it, so I need to reread it. It's a good book. But the newspeak, the changing of the language to alter, to control people, that's I want to dig into that a little bit. Because it seems like fascism, Nazism, are terms thrown around a lot. And I don't think you know what that word means. You know, just like the Princess Bride. They're saying these words, and they may have a general idea, a super oversimplification. They pick a part of the definition, like anarchy before up there, a part of the definition, and they run with it. And when you break things out to their individual components, they don't always actually mean the totality of what it's supposed to mean. And, you know, by no means am I, a historian on fascism. I'm not an expert. I did some research for this episode. But I think I understand it a bit more than a group who is supposed to be against it. Fascism, often capitalized, must be capital fascism, political philosophy, movement, or regime, such as the fascisti. I'm not Italian. Fascisti. Yeah, I have trouble with that word too. That exalts nation and often race above the individual. Anarchy, freedom of the individual. Okay. And that stands for a centralized autocratic government headed by a dictatorial leader, Obama. Severe economic and social regimentation, Obama. and forced suppression of opposition, Obama. Two. A tendency toward or actual exercise of strong autocratic or dictatorial controllerly. Even autocorrect has that underlined. Instance of army fascism or brutality from J.W. Aldrich. And doing some, so just reading that definition, almost nothing about Antifa really rings out being against that as much as that is them. And one of the bullet points I have, the main bullet point, is loyalty to the state and ruler. You know, whereas an anarchist, like we said before, wants to be without a ruler. So Antifa loves the government, wants there to be a ruler, which automatically disqualifies them from being an anarchist. Their problem is their beloved ruler was dethroned. And the one they wanted to succeed their ruler didn't make it. And they're throwing a fucking hissy fit and bandying about names of fascism and Nazism. They don't not want a ruler. They just don't want the ruler that we have. So, loyalty to the state. Ugh. These fuckers love the state. And while thinking about it, maybe off topic before we move into the next thing, I'm a millennial, and I hate to admit it, but I am on the outer edge of millennial. I turned 35 a few months ago. And comparing me to a 19-year-old, the fucking millennial age group is too big, and they need to knock this shit off. I looked it up one day, and millennials were originally supposed to be those who came to adulthood at the millennium, the year 2000. I turned 18 at the year 2000. I mean, January the 4th is my birthday, so bam, the year 2000, Y2K, world didn't end. Yay! You know, and I'm a man now. I'm a man! So by that definition of being someone who turns adulthood at the millennial change, the year 2000, would make me a millennial. Okay. And I could see there being a window in there. I mean, because basically, I mean, if it was just that super strict definition, you would have, you know, basically just a year's worth of people. I mean, a generation of only a year. That doesn't make sense. So I could see there being a window there where you'd have to have people that generally, you know, like 15, 16, 17-year-olds, you know, maybe up to like 25-year-olds or so, you know, somewhere in that range, like maybe a 10-year window. Yeah, those people are millennials. But then they just keep going. They just keep going. I mean, and they haven't ended it yet. As far as I know, kids being born today are millennials. I have a friend. She is a year older than me, I think. So 36 or so. She has a daughter who is 19 or 20 or something. Her daughter has a daughter, I believe. A child. Her daughter has a child. So she's a grandma. There's three generations of millennials. A generation is supposed to be a generation. So, you know, the baby boomers had baby boomers didn't have Gen X, did they? There was another generation in there. Gen Xers had millennials. Millennials shouldn't have millennials. You can't be in the same generation as your offspring. And that irks me. Like, it's just like whoever science, whoever you fuckers are that name these generations, fucking get your shit together. Like, I've heard theories, I've heard other names thrown out. But for some reason, they're just not being adapted, like, adopted. They're not being adopted. Where millennials, like, they got that name and then they just stuck with it. Like, I've heard before thrown about the Pepsi generation, the Y generation, net natives. Net natives is one that I think, I really think should be in place. I think people should be using that term for some of the younger kids. Possibly the 19, 20-year-olds, the people, I mean, basically most of Antifa is made up of 19, 20, you know, that young college group right there, college age kids right now. So maybe that generation, maybe not. Maybe a little bit younger than that. But what, you know, net natives are a group of kids, a generation of kids, and this should be used, who have never known a time in their life without the internet. And, I mean, if you really, really got technical and really dug down into it, yes, there's been a form of the internet since, like, the 60s. But that's not the internet that we know. That's not the internet. That was for colleges, and that was for, you know, DARPA, the Advanced Research Network. DARPANET was, you know, that's not the internet. You know, technically, there was like dial-up bulletin boards and shit when I was a kid. I didn't really get into that until a little bit later. Probably my early teens is when the infancy, I mean, the pre-infancy almost. I mean, internet is still so new and so early and so, like, rapidly changing and evolving. You know, it's hard. It's hard to really, it's not a mature entity yet, you know. It's still growing and expanding and becoming something maybe awesome and frightening. I don't know. But, you know, kids born, like, after the year 2000, I mean, really, they've not, like, after the year, hell, after 2005, 8, 5'8 or so, somewhere in there, like, let's see, the iPhone 10 is coming out. That's 10 years of the iPhone. That's 10 years of always connected devices. So if your kid is under 10, then they have never known a time without the internet, really, at this point, always connected devices. Like, so in 10 years, cell phones have pretty much evolved a ton and gone everywhere from that original iPhone that really sparked it off. There were some early attempts to integrate some smart devices there, but we're going to go off a technology rant because I could do a whole episode on that. Back to this story. I just woke up, guys. I'm a little discombobulated, but I was like, fuck, I am not going to let another week go by without an episode. Last week was a debacle. I don't know. Last week was something, but I am back. So, yeah. And, I should have said this at the beginning, but yeah, I'm trying to line up a whole bunch of guests. That's what I think the show needs for a little while is, I want to have some other people coming on here and talking to you. And then, guests that align with what we're about, you know, and some of them, you know, maybe some of them I could play devil's advocate a little bit, but yeah, I want to have some guests coming on for, I don't know, a few weeks or so. Let's take a look at, let's see, the 14 defining characteristics of fascism. So I gave you the definition of fascism, and this Dr. Lawrence Britt has examined the fascist regimes of Hitler. Well, it's time to wake up, guys. Yes, my alarm clock. I woke up early so I could do this, and I'm running late. Dr. Lawrence Britt has examined the fascist regimes of Hitler, Germany, Mussolini, Italy, Franco, Spain, Suharto, Indonesia, and several Latin American regimes. Britt has found 14 defining characteristics common to each. And let's take a look at these 14 characteristics. Powerful and continuing nationalism. Fascist regimes tend to make constant use of patriotic mottos, slogans, symbols, songs, and other paraphernalia. Flags are seen everywhere as flags, symbols on clothing and in public displays. Antifa has been seen often burning the American flag, but their own logos are everywhere. They wear them. They tout flags of them. They put their signs everywhere. They have their own flag, and they are loyal as fuck to it. Just saying. Disdain for the recognition of human rights. Because of fear of enemies and the need for security, the people in fascist regimes are persuaded that human rights can be ignored in certain cases because of the need. These people tend to look the other way or even approve torture, summary executions, assassinations, long incarceration of prisoners, etc. Well, I'm pretty sure Antifa said they're about equality and equal rights, and but they're not. But they're not. If you think differently than they do, then they want you dead. I first heard anything about Antifa on Survival Punks group on Facebook, where Cam, shout out to the chief meme officer there, Cam was like, have you guys seen these? And it was a picture of those card sharp knives. I mean, they're everywhere. Every survival website is trying to give them away. If you go to gun shows and stuff, they're being sold for like, I don't know, 12 to 20 bucks or so, but you can get them from like the internet for a buck or free or shipping or something. So there's no point in, don't pay 12 bucks or some shit for them. Don't do that. And it was branded with the Antifa logo, anti-fascist, whatever. And it was under a campaign of encouraging people to slit the throats of people at First Amendment rallies, Second Amendment rallies, Trump rallies, any conservative, anyone that they deemed a Nazi or a fascist because they didn't think the same way that they do. Okay, so they believe in human rights only for the Antifa. And for everyone else, they're like, let's go get some Nazi scalps. They're they're attacking and fighting and they want to kill. They encourage killing for the greater good because these people are obviously fascists, and fascists, the enemy, the right wing, the enemy, are worthy of being killed. The only good Nazi is a dead Nazi. Now, none of these people are Nazis. It's just not. These rallies they go to, and I watch some of the Battle of Berkeley rallies. They were peaceful until Antifa showed up and then started attacking people. And even then, people were, I didn't really see a lot of aggression back on their side as much as self-defense. Maybe that was clever camera work. I don't think it was, though. I watched a video of one guy that went undercover as Antifa to film them. And he was like, yeah, no, they're totally violent. They're starting all this shit. You know, and at one point, he basically had to stop them from beating a guy to death. You know, they had got a guy down on the ground and had him inside of a giant group of Antifa, and they're getting ready to wail on his ass. And he was like, no, you let this guy go. Which pretty much broke his cover, and then, you know, he had to leave. So, yeah. Disdain for recognition of human rights. They're going to First Amendment rallies and causing trouble and throwing them apart. So, yeah, no recognition for human rights theirs. Number three, identification of enemies, scapegoats, as a unifying cause. The people are rallied into a unifying patriotic frenzy over the need to eliminate a perceived common threat or foe, racial, ethnic, or religious minorities, liberals, communists, socialists, terrorists, etc. I'm pretty sure we covered this. Identification of enemies. Yeah. Every conservative, every right wing, everyone that's not Antifa. I mean, you know, it's twisting fascism on its head to make, I think I've seen the term neo-fascism thrown around, but it's like, you know, instead of these, you know, persecution of religious minorities, the Antifa has their religion of statism, and I'm going to dig into that a little bit later. And for some reason, they love Islam, and I can't comprehend that because they hate Christianity. And a lot of them tend to be atheists. And I'm not a religious person, but I don't call myself an atheist. And the problem I see with a lot of atheists, and probably all of these Antifa people, is not that they don't believe in the Christian God and the Bible. It's that they hate the Christian God. They hate him. Because he doesn't give them welfare. I mean, to break it down, I think it's because they want free shit. And, you know, there's no waiting line to get free shit from God. It's not. I mean, you know, people pray, and a lot of people will think, and I don't want to go off on the religious weeds, but, you know, God gives, God takes, but it's not as quantifiable as their religion, the government. So, and I'm not bashing any religion here. You are free to believe what you want. But, you know, you have to go on faith, and they want it now. You know, they want their food stamp card in their hand. They want their government phone. They want their, you know, they want their shit. And the state is their God. It is. And there's someone in charge of their religion that they don't like. So I went off on the weeds on that one. Anyone that's not Antifa. So white men. Huge enemy. They hate white men. Even if they themselves are white men, they hate themselves. They're racist. You know, they're not. The term racism has become so synonymous with oppression of black people. That is not racism. That is a form that racism takes. It is. Racism is putting one race above the other to oppress any race, to hate a race. I mean, when you think that any one race is better than another race as a whole, then that's racist. And there's a lot of these stupid idiots and like this white professor that's tweeting stuff like all he wants for Christmas is white genocide, and he's a fucking white privileged motherfucker. Like, you know, he's got tenure in his college and he's teaching these kids these ridiculous ideas. You know, what an idiot. So these people for some weird reason think that every other, so white women are okay. Every other form of not white people are better. Although I don't really see them standing up for Native American rights a lot. Whatever. And women and any tiny minority that they can get their hands on is better than white people. So they're racist against white men, especially straight men. That's like the hated group. Oh, no. White Christian straight men. They want you dead. I mean, that's it. That you are their enemy. Number four. Hopefully I won't go into the super weeds on this one. We're doing good on time. Supremacy of the military. Even when they are widespread domestic problems, the military is given a disproportionate amount of government funding, and the domestic agenda is neglected. Soldiers in the military service are glamorized. I would say that in this community, the Antifa community, that those that go out there in their black drab and fight are glamorized. People look up to them that are in that community. Everyone else thinks they're morons. This is the one that for me doesn't really fit as well, except for these are the same people that they seem to hate the military, but they like cops and they think the only people that should have guns are police, but it's weird. It's weird. It's a weird love-hate relationship between them and the police. I don't really understand it. So I don't know about that one, but you know, they kind of hit some of that part. Rampant sexism. The government of fascist nations tends to be almost exclusively male-dominated. Under fascist regimes, traditional gender roles are made more rigid. Divorce, abortion, and homosexuality are suppressed, and the state is represented as the ultimate guardian of the family institution. This is again where they've flipped things and made them different, like backwards, sort of. Rampant sexism. Like we said before, they're not real fans of straightism, and there tends to be a large portion of women in control of these groups. In that one video I saw, there seemed to be an old lady in the back, middle-aged, 50s or so, that didn't seem like she should be there, but she was kind of weird and suspicious. Like, she was... She was handing rocks to them. Like, she was a part of Antifa. You tend to see a lot of women in the movement. A lot of gays. A lot of trans people. Because that's the new catchphrase. They're trying to make weird transisms cool to a younger generation. And just fucking their minds over. Like, you know, like, when I was a kid, what is it? You know, we wanted to grow up, the young boys wanted to grow up and be cool action stars. We want to be Rambo and Conan. And now, trans guys that are girly are what they're trying to make cool. And I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. I think it's dumb. So, yeah, rampant sexism. Like I said again, straight men they hate. They hate straight men. It's I'm going to go off in the conspiracies and people are going to think I've lost my mind, but they really do not like that. If you are a trans, a woman or something, then you are accepted. But if you are a straight man, then you are the enemy. So it's rampant sexism, but not the sexism where it's, you know, because once again, the words have been changed. Sexism does not mean against women. It doesn't mean female oppression. It means giving more things to one sex over the other, you know, better privilege one sex over the other, you know, more rights for one sex or the other. And they want more rights for a female and their other make-believe 57 genders they have. I mean, yeah, so rampant sexism. Controlled mass media. Yes, yes, yes. Sometimes the media is directly controlled by the government, but in other cases, the media is indirectly controlled by the government regulation or sympathetic media spokespeople and executive. Censorship, especially in wartime, is very common. If you've seen any mass media and think that it is not being controlled or influenced in some way or the other, I can't help you. I can't help you. There was a viral video clip going around where like news stations all over the world were covering the same news story exactly the same way with the same script. And it's like, okay, well, they're passing out this thing to say. And it wasn't even an important, like, it wasn't like, you know, Obama sends missiles to help young kittens. You know, it was like it was just a dumb news story, but they're all, like, it even had like a chuckle or something. It was like, and this happened today. yeah, that quirky moose jaw there. Like, what? No, it was like everyone had the same chuckle and the same thing. It was like, this is creepy. Yeah. The news was so, the news, I don't know. It really is controlled, and mainstream media never really showed any of the bad things that Obama did. And I'm not a Trump fan. I haven't been a fan of a president. My whole life. I've not really liked any of the presidents we've ever had. So, with that said, you know, I like my news to be factual based and unbiased, which is hard because everyone has a bias, even if you don't want a bias. Like, and I kind of, you know, I do and I don't want just a computer reading me the facts, like bullet points, like this happened today. And I remember a YouTube video that I watched years ago, can't remember what it was. But it was, I think it was during the, not this past election, but the one before with Obama and what's his face? Nope, don't know the Republican guy. I forget his name. Romney, yeah. Obama and Romney. Obamney. Because they were the same person. And they were reading facts like, what do you think if Romney wants to do this, and Romney wants to do this, and reading random things to people on the street, and the guy was interviewing them, and it was like, what if I told you that those aren't things that Romney wants to do, that it's actually things, you know, like keeping the Patriot Act going and bombing kids in Yemen and all this other stuff. What if I told you that's not things that Romney wants to do, that's things that Obama has done already on the books, you know, done. And people were like, no, it's not crazy. And some people got like angry and left. And out of all these people that he told that to, and you know, he had printed off CNN reports and stuff from online, you know, like he had facts to back up everything he said. It was all, you know, factual and truth. One person was like, okay, I'm going to go home and look into this. I'm going to check this out. Thanks for telling me, bro. Everyone else was like, nah, you know, and people were justifying. It was like, oh, come on, you know, it's Obama. He's got to do what he's got to do, man. People are biased to believe what they want to believe, but the media is not helping at all. So I don't know that Antifa is in control of the media, but maybe their backers, the people that are running Antifa, maybe they have a, you know, go at it. Maybe there's no telling how far this goes up. I've seen, and you know, I can't really tell, but I've seen some good solid evidence that George Soros is funding Antifa. So, and I'm sure that he can put a few dimes in some media pockets. So the mass media is bullshit. Plain and simple. Obsession with national security. Fear is used as a motivational tool by the government over the masses. Fear is what drives Antifa. Fear that Trump is going to put everyone in internment camps and start gassing them. I mean, they're calling these people Nazis because they're trying to trump up, like that word, trump up a big foe, a reason to live and to fight for. So, yes, they're obsessed with national security. Religion and government are intertwined. Government in a fascist nation tends to be the most common religion in the nation as a tool of manipulate public opinion. Religious rhetoric and terminology in common form of government leaders, even when major tenets of the religion are diametrically opposed to the government's policies or actions. Well, if, like we said before, if Antifa, if their religion is statism, worshiping the state, then yeah, this one kind of fits. And it's not a technical religion, but, and once again, like a lot of the things on this list, if we flip them backwards, you know, where these people hate religion except for Islam for some reason, then it fits my weird, I don't know, bizarro fascism. Yeah, bizarro fascism, which is just as evil, just backwards and weird. So yeah, except for statism, they hate all other religions. So, except for Islam, it boggles my mind. We like gay people in Islam. Islam, we kill gay people. Well, you're Islam. That's okay. Okay, I don't understand it. I just don't. It's like, I don't know. I don't know. That could be a lot more research in a whole different episode. So, corporate power is protected. The industrial and business aristocracy. I'm tired, guys. Sorry. Aristocracy of a fascist nation often are the ones who put the government leaders into power, creating a manually beneficial business-government relationship and power elite. This one has many things. Once again, George Soros, he's business. He may or may not be behind Antifa. That's probably, I don't know. And which is weird, as Antifa seems to be anti-corporations, but they love corporations. The whole thing is just weird to me. You know, they're posting on their iPhone how they hate big corporations. iPhone much, brah? I mean, you know, and we hate big corporations, but we're drinking at Starbucks, which has 3,000 locations worldwide or something. It just doesn't make sense. Like, how they hate big companies, but man, are they like loyal brand and love it. I mean, I don't, it's, just doesn't make sense to me, guys. So, yeah. And corporate power is protected. I don't know. So, yeah. They say they hate corporations, but they don't. So, they would protect their corporations for sure. labor power is suppressed because the organizing power of labor is the only real threat that the fascist government, labor unions are either eliminated or entirely severely suppressed. Yeah, I don't really got nothing for this, guys. Most of these fuckers don't even have a job, so. Yeah, I don't know. That one I can't really, and if you have an idea, comment it on the blog. I mean, disdain for intellectuals and the arts. Fascist nations tends to promote and tolerate open hostility to higher education and academia. It is not uncommon for professors and other academics to be censored or even arrested. Free expression in the arts and letters is openly attacked. This one is twofold. It's a twofer, guys. It's a twofer. I'm running late. Yes, a lot of these people tend to be made up of college students, professors, and intellectuals of the arts and whatnot. So, once again, it's sort of that flipped reverse thing where it's the opposite, where it's a love of the intellectuals and the arts. It's them first. It's what, I mean, instead of hatred of them and disdain for them, it's promotion of them. It's the opposite, except for those that think oppositely, like the Berkeley campus riots, where a guy was going to talk on something and they were like, shit, no. So they attacked that guy and tried to censor him. Censoring. So, yeah. They definitely qualify for this one. Number 12, obsession with crime and punishment. Under fascist regimes, the police are given almost limitless powers to enforce laws. People are often willing to overlook police abuses and even forgo civil liberties in the name of patriotism. There's often a national police force with virtually unlimited power in fascist nations. They definitely want to enforce crime and punishment, or definitely the punishment on those that they think are committing crimes to them. And it's weird, but they want those that think differently to be punished. So, you know, like they think that gun owners should be killed and, you know, just anyone that's conservative. Like there's something on Huffington Post recently that the Second Amendment is invalid because it violates the right of a free quick and speedy trial, whatever it is. So, yeah. They're weird. They're weird. So yeah, they aren't a police organization, but they're all about punishing those they feel are different from them. Number 13, and we're going to try to wrap this up. rampant cronyism and corruption. Fascist regimes almost always are governed by groups of friends and associates who appoint each other to government positions and use government power and authority to protect their friends from accountability. It is not uncommon for the fascist regimes for national resources, even treasures, to be appropriated or even outright stolen by government leaders. There's only so many that I can apply really well for a non-governmental group. But within the ranks of Antifa, if there is such a thing, I'm sure there's some cronyism going on. They've to have these organizations as well organized and stuff, there's got to be some sort of leadership up top. And I don't know. So, number 14, the last one. Fraudulent elections. Sometimes elections in fascist nations are a complete sham. Other times elections are manipulated by smear campaigns against or even assassination of opposed candidates. Use of legislation to control voting numbers or political district boundaries and manipulation of the media. Fascist nations also typically use their judiciaries to manipulate or control elections. Did Antifa rig the elections? Well, they may have tried and not succeeded because their candidate didn't win. So there's that. There's mixed evidence on whether voting fraud is going on. I tend to think there might be some of it going on. There's definitely some shady shit going on. The election system is crappy. It needs to be reformed. Smear campaigns, yes. Opposition of candidates, yes. So, this, I mean, like I said, a lot of these are hard to attribute because they are not actually a government group. They are not a ruling regime at the moment. Although I bet they wish they were. even though I'm not sure how that would work, since they are statists and they worship the state. To be a part of the state would maybe be their greatest thing in the world they'd want to do. I don't know. Or maybe it's so holy that they do not think they could ever be a part of the state. I'm not real sure. But I would say out of these 14 things, a lot of them match up really well with a group that's supposed to be against fascism. So, that's what I think. They definitely... So after reading all of that and talking about Antifa, and at first telling you that, telling you my thoughts on anarchy, I think you should now know, definitely. And I know some of you are not anarchists. You may even be full-fledged conservative Republicans. But I want you to know that Antifa are not anarchists. They're not. I was like, you motherfuckers, you're not anarchists. You are the opposite. I would argue that they are indeed totalitarians, authoritarians. They are trying to control others, and if someone doesn't believe like they do, then they want to enforce their opinion on them. There can only be one way of thinking, the Antifa way of thinking. So, whereas they're going and shutting down First Amendment rallies of people that are Trump supporters because they think differently, you know, a true anarchist will let you think whatever you want, as long as you don't break the non-aggression principle, which is, you know, you can think and say and do whatever you want to do until it imposes violence, until it aggresses on another person. So you can sit there and yell and scream and flail your arms all you want. Until your arm hits another person's face, you have not aggressed upon anyone. It doesn't matter. And these were peaceful rallies. You know, you can do whatever you want until you break in into someone's home, steal their stuff. Like, that's aggressing upon a person. So as long as you don't aggress upon anyone, that there's, you know, and, you know, the non-aggression 2.0, you don't allow anyone to aggress upon you. Someone hits you in the face, you stomp their face in. I mean, don't don't aggress upon anyone and don't allow yourself to be aggressed upon, you know, or really, you know, your friends and family. If someone is attacking someone in your family, then you attack them back. That's aggressing upon your people. These people are initiating aggression without being aggressed upon. As far as I'm concerned, you can't be an anarchist. They are not anarchists. They are fascist, socialist, totalitarians. They are hated. I don't know how to stop this movement. I don't know where this movement is going. Now that I know what I know about them, I'm going to keep a little bit better eye on them. And I don't want to go initiate aggression upon them, but I kind of do, guys. I just want to beat these fuckers. Like, I just want to beat sense in them. Like, they're just, yeah. So, you know, if the call goes out that Antifa is going to be somewhere near me, and because there's something going on that I believe in, I might go show up. I don't know. I'm not political and I don't get involved with things, but these guys are idiots. I don't know. If you are going to some of these rallies where Antifa is showing up, be safe, guys. You may want to take some precautions. You may not want to go just with jeans and a t-shirt. They are pepper spraying people. They're throwing M80s at people. They're throwing rocks. People are getting their heads busted open. I saw a video where someone from Antifa took one of those big U-bolt light bike locks and just cracked a dude's skull open. Like I said, they are trying to get people to get these knives to slit throats. Like, they want to kill people. So maybe there's a time to not go to these rallies, and maybe there's a time that you really should go to these rallies. It's up to you. It's up to you. I don't know where this is going to go. Part of me is like, this is how you get martial law, guys. Like, this is how you get it. So I don't know. Those are my thoughts on Antifa and what an anarchist is and is not. Hopefully at this point you have a little bit better understanding of what anarchy is and a little bit understanding about fascism and Antifa, and that Antifa are fascist. They don't quite hit every single nail on the 14-point fascist list, but I bet they would if they could, guys. I bet they would if they could. The labor suppression thing, if they could be in control of the laws, I bet they would pervert that into something weird. Some sort of, I don't know, government assistance, like suppressing the labor that way, keeping the hardworking people from earning money so that the not hardworking people could get any money. And if you want something on this, you should check out the Sword of Truth series, especially, I don't remember which book it was, but there's one where the main protagonist, Richard Rall, gets kidnapped and taken to the Overworld, which is a socialist country. And his troubles there in the socialist country where everything is dumb and stupid, and it seems like where they want to go. With that, I'm going to wrap it up. Remember once again that I do have the Starpunk Army, and you can join for a mere $5 a month and help support the show. And with that, DIY to survive, you guys.